Society 13 and Progzilla Radio proudly present Prog Watch with your friend and host, Big Tony Rousek, a.k.a. Prog Squatch.
this lifetime of a journey. This magic carpet ride, I saw them changes coming lately. It must be time that turned the tide. Future, hold the secrets that's hiding down the dark and ocean floor. Deep and the deep, until the diver hits the evermore.
Our opening song this week was Lifetime of a Journey from the Kaipa album Keyholder in 2003. After disbanding for many years, Kaipa surprised more than a few folks by reuniting in the early 2000s, and Roine Stolt was a part of that reunion and features on this album and track. If you hadn't guessed, this is Prog Watch with your friend Big Tony the Prog Squatch, and this week I'm finishing up my coverage of prog rock legend Roine Stolt. Of course, I did part one of my coverage a few weeks ago, and on that program we heard about half of my interview with Roine, plus music from Kaipa, the Flower Kings, his solo career, Kaipa da Capo, and The Tangent. If you did not hear that show and are a fan of this man, you're probably going to want to go back and catch that one. You can find it at my website, progwatch.com, in the current season, which is season 4. Anyway, this week we are going to hear the rest of my interview, along with more Flower Kings, Agents of Mercy, Transatlantic, and the wonderful Anderson-Stolt collaboration. So let's get things rolling with some more of my interview with prog rock legend Roine Stolt.
We were talking there, and it's like you were talking about writing lyrics, and something that always struck me, I mean, obviously you speak English fabulously. And no, thank goodness, because I don't speak Swedish at all.
Oh, okay, yeah,
but I know a little bit of German, you know, but not enough really to hold a conversation like this. But you know, I've always been amazed. I mean, how do you think? And I mean, it's not your native language. It's always amazing to me how people can write lyrics in a different language. Is that?
I don't know. The thing is that we have English from when you're let me see. We start with English when you're 10, I think, in schools in Sweden.
Okay.
So we have it, you know. And the other thing is that places like Germany or Italy or Spain, they have subtitles. No. They don't have subtitles. We have subtitles in Sweden, but they have. They're sort of, I don't know what you call it. If you see an American film, they have a German actress doing the talking.
Overdubbed.
Overdubbed. Yeah. And in Spain and in Italy, and I think from watching lots of English and American films, of course, American from Hollywood films in Sweden. You learn, you pick up, you know, phrases, and you think, okay, that see what that means, and you bit by bit, you learn English, you know, in a way, and of course together with what you have in school, and then of course listening to rock music. And if you're interested in English, whatever, from the Beatles to Bob Dylan, there's always something you can learn. And and then of course, I mean, when I started touring 20 years ago, I had to, because that's the only way you can communicate. Even if you're going to France or to Germany, you speak, because I don't speak German. So I had to communicate with people, and then you have to speak English. And then I ended up, of course, in bands or working with people who speak English. So I have to. And I think the bottom line is that you have to be ready to embarrass yourself, you know, and say something wrong, or you have a funny accent or things like that. Once you sort of, you know, accept that that's going to happen, you're going to say the wrong thing, so you're going to have a funny accent, and then you just relax and talk and communicate, and if something turns out wrong, it's not the end of the world. Just keep talking.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good laid-back attitude toward that, yeah. Mm. But, you speak very well.
And I mean, as far as writing lyrics, I try. It's not like I'm sitting here with a English lexicon, you know. I try to just write from, you know, whatever comes, you know, enters my mind, and then if there's a certain word I need to spell check or something like that, or I'm looking for a certain thing, you know, maybe I'll go grab a lexicon.
Okay.
But generally, I try to write from whatever I know, and start from there at least. I think it's a good idea. I think because sitting here and writing with lexicons and stuff is, I think it wouldn't turn out right for me at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. You mentioned touring, and you've been all over the world. You've worked with people like John Anderson, Steve Hackett, Neil Morris, and Mike Portnoy, just to name a few. Do you have any favorite stories from the road or the studio that are fit to share with our audience?
Well, if you gave me a day, maybe I could think of something. But okay. I mean, honestly, it's a lot, really. It's a lot, and
I'm sure.
the stuff that's really weird, I think it's probably things that I wouldn't share with people. But I mean, I would say basically, I feel that, I think I said this before, I'm amazed that some of the, let's say, the top people in music business, we're not only talking prog now, because I met some other people, you know, like Jackson Browne, I met, you know, Adrian Belew, of course. Okay. And these people, they are really nice people. They're really nice people. And I'm thinking, how come these people can be so nice, while some of the sort of, the beginners, they're always nice too, you know. People who just started playing an instrument, they're really nice because they know they're nothing. And then you have the second or the third layer, people that are thinking that are, they're, you know, going somewhere and they're in the greatest band, you know, and they can sometimes be, I don't know, a little harsh, and they talk behind your back and they say nasty things, you know, and then you get to the top shelf, you know, and when you have people like whatever, Steve Hackett and John Anderson, they're super nice people. I haven't heard them say anything negative about other people. And that's interesting, you know.
That's great.
I mean, even John, I mean, he was kicked out of Jess. He didn't say, while we were working, you know, and I have like 300 emails from him, I think I can pick out a couple of them. And once he was talking about Steve Howe, and he said only nice things about Steve Howe. I'm thinking, here's this guy, and he kicked you out of the band, and you're saying, you're talking nice about this guy.
Yeah.
And I think it was classy.
Yeah, he seems really a very classy, positive.
You know? He was, and he was talking, you know, about the old days and the way they worked, and Steve and him, they were working on, you know, whatever topographic and stuff like that, how Steve came up with stuff, and, you know, they were sort of complimenting each other, you know. And I think it's really nice because it's easy, because it's there's competition, you know, within the music business, and if you end up in a sort of in a field where you're looking at other musicians and you start talking bad about them or thinking bad or thinking less about them because of whatever, then I don't think that's a good place to be, really, because it's you have to stay positive, you know, and realize that everyone is doing whatever they can, you know, to make good music
and rooted.
So, yeah.
Feet on the ground.
yeah definitely, you know. So I mean, they're really nice. And Steve Hackett, what a nice guy.
I mean, really? Yeah, I saw you on tour with him when you came to my hometown. I guess it was not this past fall, but the one before.
That's right. That's right.
Pittsburgh, PA.
Yeah.
But yeah, you were playing bass and mainly bass, I think.
Yeah. Bass, but, some 12-string guitar.
Yeah, I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, how was that? I mean, you said he's a nice guy. I mean, yeah, he's like a legend, right?
Yeah, he's a legend. I mean, he's a super nice guy and great band. I think the funny part for me, well, not the funny part, but the fun part, the great part was to actually be able to be there on stage with Steve. I mean, the original guitar player with Genesis and play songs like Get 'Em Up by Friday or Cinema Show, you know.
Right.
Because these are songs, you know, that they're part of my my upbringing or my musical upbringing.
Mine too.
My teenage years, you know, listening to these guys, and I went to see them, you know, a couple of times live, and both Steve's solo shows, but first Genesis, when he was in Genesis, I saw them. So it's kind of bizarre, you know, and to be touring with him and doing 85 shows and recording and playing the Albert Hall and all that. So that's interesting. But I'm happy to say that Steve is extremely nice and very easy to work with, and I can't think of one bad thing to say about Steve.
Yeah, that's great.
It is.
So
it's, I mean, you know, it's been a blessing in a way, and I would say quite late in my life or my career, you know, I get to work with these people, you know, and try different horizons and play different music and play the classical music of these guys, and even play with John. We got to play from Topographic and on this this show we did on the boat, you know, we played Side One from Topographic Ocean, and we played what else? Starship Trooper and Long Distance Runaround.
Yeah.
Lots of practicing. Yeah. In particular, the Topographic song. The Revealing Signs of God was, oh my goodness, that was, it wasn't easy, I'll tell you, but you know, we got there in the end.
Yeah, they probably had, like the Flower Kings, there's a lot of music in those particular albums you were just talking about.
Yeah. And it's kind of irregular. I'm thinking that they probably went in, they had a basic idea, and in particular, Steve Howe is playing lots of different stuff, you know. It's not like, well, there's a structure, but the structure is sort of changing all the time, you know, and that makes it difficult. And you don't really know the time signature, and it's not like straightforward 4/4, you know, that kind of thing. So, so it took lots of time for me to figure out what he was playing, you know, and what the timing was and everything, you know. So I spent weeks just rehearsing that one song to play it once.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll play it again. I don't know. But it was great fun.
It sounds like it. You mentioned, you know, later in your life you're getting to work with these people. Well, I'm not going to get to work with anybody like that, but I am getting to talk to people like you, and to me that's just a thrill as well. It's really fantastic. I can't believe I'm here talking to you, really.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think the interesting thing about being because it's kind of scary being a musician, because you don't know what about next year and when will you not be able to play that well anymore? When will people not pay to see you play anymore? Well, that day will probably come. I don't know. Hopefully not too soon. But the thing is that I'm thinking that's the scary part. The great part is that you don't know. The same thing. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen, and that's exciting, because I don't know. I basically know. Yeah, we're going to do another one with, you know, Anderson Stolt, another album, sure. We don't know exactly when it's going to be released, but we're working on it. And there's another project. But besides that, I don't know. I don't know really what's going to happen this year, next year. And it's a little bit scary, but it's also a bit, little bit exciting, you know, because all these projects, and you can, if you take control, you know, you can sort of shape your future, you know, and that's interesting.
And, yeah.
You learn from that. You really, you throw yourself out there, you know, and you know, into the unknown and see what happens, you know, whatever collaborations coming, I don't know. Hopefully something fun, you know.
Let's take a pause here and listen to some more great Rainer Stolt music. This is from another of his fantastic side projects called Agents of Mercy. Along with Rainer, this project included Nad Sylvan, who was a member of Unifon and recently Steve Hackett's touring band. Agents of Mercy also included various Flower Kings alumni and folks like Jimmy Keegan and Pat Mastalotto. They made three wonderful albums, but today I'm going to play you something from the third one, The Black Forest, in 2011. This is the title track. Once again, the Black Forest from the 2011 album of the same name by one of the supergroups of which Roine Stolt has been a part, Agents of Mercy.
When one Mellotron just isn't enough, call in the professionals. Progzilla, proving that prog isn't just for dinosaurs.
Now let's check in with our friend and resident reviewer, Dr. Rob Fisher, wordsmith for the Progressive Aspect and Prog Radar. This week, Rob is weighing in on a classic Flower Kings album from the late 1990s. Here's Rob. Last time, Progressive Discoveries took a look at the album Darskappen's Monotony, Roine Stolt's recent album released with the original founding members of Kaipa da Kapo, the band he formed in the early 1970s. Today we are taking a look at another band of which Roine is a member, the Flower Kings, and in particular an album they released in 1997, Stardust We Are. Stardust was the first double album the Flower Kings released, and to this day stands as a powerful vision and remarkable statement of the core ideas and sound which form the basis of their music. The scale of the album is immense, almost terrifying, as it contemplates who we are, where we come from, and what our place is in the universe. So who are we? Where are we going? What is our destiny? Compared to the vast cosmic reaches of space, we are nothing, trivial, insignificant, barely noticeable. Compared to the world around us, we are everything. We stand supreme in a world we bend and fit to our own wants, needs, and desires. Four tracks in comes the most sublime affirmation. Church of Your Heart is a magnificent, joyous ode to the human spirit. It is a glorious symphonic hymn to the wonder of each and every one of us, alive, here, now. We gaze in awe and curiosity at the stars above us, marvel at the glories of the world, and above it all, we rise tall when we believe in ourselves, when we are humble enough to understand that every step we take can be magic, when we build a fitting and rightful home for ourselves in the universe. Time may well bring us to end before we are ready. It is the way of things. But if we are true to the Church of Hearts and don't let go of the vision we have set for ourselves, that is all that really matters. Now we're going to hear the song. This is one of Rob's favorites and one of my own. Church of Your Heart, from the great 1997 Flower Kings album, Stardust We Are.
and the moon's a brighter light. Gracefully, I watch them coming down like waterfalls. All ancient souls, universal wisdom, come clear over doors. Believe in church, your heart will ring out the wonder of the moment. The spirit of the ages, all of the colorful dreams, you saw them materialize, and one by one they turn the pages. Believe in the church.
Once again, that was Church of Your Heart from Stardust We Are by the Flower Kings in 1997. Before that, our friend and resident reviewer, Rob Fisher, waxed eloquent on the album Stardust We Are, and in particular the song Church of Your Heart, which is one of his favorites and mine. When I post this show to progwatch.com, there are always links to follow to read more of Rob's work for the Progressive Aspect, Prog Radar, and now his own blog, also called Progressive Discoveries. Just a little later in the final installment of the interview, we'll hear Roina talking a little about this next project, another supergroup of which he was a part. I'm talking about Transatlantic, in which he teamed with Neil Morse, Pete Trewavas, and Mike Portnoy. Roina thinks that The Whirlwind was his favorite Transatlantic album, and who am I to disagree with a prog rock legend and musical genius of his stature? So here's the opening track, Overture and Whirlwind, from the 2009 Transatlantic album, The Whirlwind. again, that was Overture and Whirlwind from Transatlantic's 2009 offering, The Whirlwind.
Hey, Rocky, what's that crazy music you're listening to?
Yo, Paulie, it's progressive rock, you know, it's sophisticated, you know?
Sophisticated, huh? I don't get it.
Don't be like Paulie, be like Rocky. Listen to Progzilla Radio, now even more sophisticated.
Now let's hear the rest of my interview with Roy Nishtol.
Okay, so yeah, you kind of dovetailed into my last question. Really was
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what's the future hold? You know, big tours on the horizon? Any more new albums from Flower Kings or Transatlantic? Or I mean, you have the Kaipa. Is that the Capo? Yeah. Is how you say it, or how did you say it originally?
Kaipa. Yeah. Well, it's actually called Kaipa da Capo.
Da Capo
means, yeah, da Capo, because we played in the 70s and now it's da Capo because we're once more recording and touring. So yeah, we did an album.
Yeah, I heard it.
This October. And so that's, I came from the rehearsal today, and we're doing in 3 weeks' time, we're starting a European tour, going for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And yeah, so it's taking us around Europe, mostly lots of gigs in Germany and Holland and Denmark and Sweden. And I suppose we just keep working a bit on that, you know, and maybe record another album. We'll see. You know, it's not supposed to end anytime soon. You know, we'll see what happens. And that's the beauty of it. You know, we don't know. Maybe record another album. Maybe next year. Maybe not. Maybe just keep on touring, or maybe not. It's not the end of the world. It's not like we're making lots of money on it. It's more like for fun, you know.
Okay.
And I did tour with Steve Hackett last year, and I did not make a fortune, but I made some good money. So it's not like I need to go out on the road and make lots of money this year. I'm in a pretty good or a decent spot, I would say, where I can be creative without worrying too much about the money.
That's great. You deserve it.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I do. To be honest.
Yeah.
I worked really hard for it.
A long time.
Know, it's like, yeah, but I mean, I turned 60 this year. So it's like, I'm thinking, well, you know, looking back and everything I've done and all the albums I recorded and all that, you know, and all the great people I've been playing with. And so it's, looking back, it's really nice. You know, it's sort of, you know, it's kind of a comfort, you know, see all the, every album and all the music sort of I left, you know, behind or whatever. And then you look into the future, and that's something, that's the unknown. And it's as I said, a little bit scary, but that's not the dominating feeling. It's more like I look into the future, and then I'm thinking, okay, there's so much that can happen, you know. There's so many collaborations. I know lots of really talented and nice people in the music business, you know, and we bump into each other sometimes and say, oh, we got to do an album together, or we got to tour together. And maybe it happens, maybe it does not happen, you know. So it's like that's part of the excitement, you know. You never know what's going to happen, what's going to be this year, what's going to be next year. And that's the way I've been living, you know, for a very long time. And it feels, you know, I feel pretty relaxed. It's not like I'm scared into death because I don't know what I'm going to do next year. There's going to be money coming in. Yeah. I trust the money's going to come, you know, because I do something, I work, and I tour or record something. So
you have options.
Sorry.
You have options open. Yeah, you have lots of things.
Yeah, there's option, you know. And as I said, there's probably going to be another Anderson Stolt and I'm doing this Kaipa thing, and I have another project I just started up, you know, writing with another guy, and we're putting together a band, and rest is like that stuff. I'm remixing some Anderson Stolt now for like a big box that's gonna be like 5.1 surround record mixes and I don't know what you call it, like the lossless or the high definition, mm-hmm. whatever,
24 bit or whatever.
Yeah. 2496. Stuff like that, you know. So that's coming up, and then whenever they're done with the Anderson Rabin Wakeman touring, maybe mm-hmm. then John and myself will do a run of shows whenever the time comes.
Oh, great! So, come to Pittsburgh.
I'd love to come to America.
Anderson Rabin Wakeman did. I saw them here a few months ago. Yeah, that was it was great to see them again.
They're starting to sound really good. It was a little bit shaky in the beginning. I saw a few clips and it sounded a little bit, you know, shaky, but I heard something lately that sounded really, really good. So it takes time, you know. Yeah. It takes time. They're playing together, and each and every show is sort of their building.
I saw them. I think it was November, but they sounded great to me. And just to see Rick Wakeman again, and
this in fantastic
in his cape, of course.
In his cape,
he had a,
bless him.
Yeah,
he's such a funny guy. Yeah, he's lovely.
Yeah,
and John sound great. And the funny thing is that when we were playing the shows, as I mentioned, the Topographic and those songs, we had to transpose them down because his voice wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. really up to that. But I realized that now with Anderson Rabin and Wakeman, they're playing the songs in the original key.
It sounded like it to me, you know.
He's back and it's amazing.
Yeah, he was hitting a lot of those high notes. Yeah,
he's 72.
Mm-hmm. His voice sounds, is a little huskier. I mean, it's a little rougher, but he can still hit the notes, and that's just
hit the notes. And the clips I've seen, it sounds really. I mean, many people they use like these. Pitch whatever correction
stuff, auto tune stuff,
and they don't, and I think it sound pretty, you know, spot on. There's a few notes, but I mean generally it's always every band
I mean
except maybe for the Eagles, they sing in pitch, but but I mean most bands they use that kind of, you know, pitch correction thing, you know, but they sound out of tune, you know, but I think John sounds amazing. I mean, compared to like just like 5 years ago, I mean,
right?
Just amazing.
Yeah, I saw him with Jean-Luc Ponty also, and he that was a year or so before the Anderson Rabin Wakeman thing. He was starting, you know. It was nice. It was just, I mean, I saw him in a small theater. The same theater where you played in Pittsburgh. You probably don't remember. It's a nice small 1,000-person theater, mm-hmm. and just to see masters like that on the stage, and they're still. They're still so good. They can still do it.
Oh, yeah, you know? yeah. And Jean-Luc is probably over 70 also.
He's going to be 75, I think, somewhere.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
He's been around a long time. I've been a big fan for a long time, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's amazing. The great thing about, because I know for sure, I mean, John's in there for the music. Of course, he want to make money, but he's in there for the music.
Yeah.
We have talked a lot, you know, and I realize this guy is totally in it for the music. And he's going to keep on doing it, you know. And I think Jean-Luc Ponty is the same thing, you know. They're in there for the music, you know. And as long as they love what they play, it's going to be great, you know.
Yeah, I like their motives, too. It was, you know, Anderson, Rabin, Wakeman, they said they wanted to do it for a long time. And then when Chris Squire died and they all realized we're not going to be here forever, they did it. They did it for the music, you know. They wanted to do it and they did it for the right reasons, you know.
Absolutely.
So, anything on the Flower Kings or what, Transatlantic Front? Anything happening there?
No, I don't think so. I really can't see anything Flower Kings happening in the near future, and I don't think Transatlantic either. I don't think. I don't know. I don't know really what would happen with. I think they're busy. I mean, Neil is out there now with Mike, and I think they're happy playing this music, and I don't know if there's room for. I don't know. I think Transatlantic was great. It was a certain time when we did the Whirlwind. I think the band was great. The spirit was great, and everything felt really, really good. The kaleidoscope was good, but it didn't feel like, I don't know, it wasn't the same thing, I think, for me personally. I felt it wasn't as good as the whirlwind. And I think, I mean, if we get together, it has to be inspired, and everyone's going to be there, and for the right reasons, and for the music, and then I think it could be great, because it's a great band, you know, it's great players, and so I don't know, it's not up to me, you know, to say, because I think it's more like whatever, if Mike and Neil feel like it, maybe they send out an email and we'll see what happens, you know. What I'm not holding my breath, really. Looking back, I think it was great. What was great, you know, and as I said, I think the Whirlwind was a great album. It's a wonderful tour and everything, so I don't mind looking back at that, you know, and just seeing that was great, you know. It was happening at that time, and you know, now it's a new time, new things, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Anything else you wanted to talk about? I ran down all my questions, you know.
No, not really. No? I think we covered most of it. You know, all the bands I've been in. Well, not all the bands. Most of the bands I've been in. You know, we covered the Anderson, Stolt, and the Hackett thing. You know, and the Flower Kings. We mentioned the Flower Kings and the Kaiapa, and you know, and Transatlantic. So that's pretty much what I've been doing the last 25 years. So
yeah, what a 25 years.
And even covering my youth and buying the first records and daddy's guitar and all that. So I think we're pretty much covered a bit of Roy Nestalt, at least.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I'm going to probably put this into, I think I'm going to milk it for all it's worth and break it up into two shows. We're going to do two shows on Roy Nestalt, I think. Yeah. So I'll use half the interview in one and half in the other, and we're going to play a whole lot of music from all your different projects. And
there's plenty to pick from. You know?
Absolutely. and they're not exactly short songs either, most of them.
No, I know. I apologize for that.
No, don't. They're fantastic. I love them for what they are. Absolutely.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been great.
Great.
And I can't thank you enough. And I guess I'll let you go get back to whatever you're going to be doing with the rest of your evening.
The rest of the evening is going to do keep working on the Anderson Stolt limited edition 2496 mixes. Wow.
I feel honored
that's what I'm doing tonight.
You took some time out for me. Wow.
Yeah. That's fine. I need sometimes you need a break. You know, just a break. I had dinner with my wife, and then I had his phone call, and then I go back to listening to the music, and then you hear the music in a different way, and I hear the details better, I think.
Yeah. Your ears do get beat up. Yeah. Okay. Well, again, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that wraps up my interview with Roy Nestalt. Man, what an honor it was to talk to him. I was also honored to know that he took a break from remixing the Anderson Stolt album for a 5.1 surround sound release in order to talk to me. Watch for that coming out soon, that 5.1 surround sound mix and the box set of which it'll be a part. While on the topic of that epic collaboration between Royna and John Anderson of Yes, let's finish out this program with a little of that great album. Of course, the album is more or less one continuous piece, like the Flower King's Garden of Dreams, for example, but it is broken down into smaller segments, which can kind of stand alone. We're going to listen to two of them. We Are Truth and Knowledge. Again, these are from last year's Anderson Stolt album, Invention of Knowledge.
I will not broken tunes, promises that drift around my voice and I, night and day. I will not be subject to the lies of advertising the break. This avenue of faith, faith in my heart, faith, faith in my soul.
We will.
together. Shall we be the soul of everlasting light? In nations of the knowledge we see this mystery. Some may say that positive life is always, always growing. Some may say that positive life is always, always growing. The story life, the story life.
Songs in understanding to carry.
Once again, that was We Are Truth and Knowledge. Two tracks from the larger composition, the Anderson Stolt album called Invention of Knowledge, which was released last year. As always, if you like what you hear on the show, please go and support the artists. They are what the show is all about. In the next few weeks, I believe I'll be having a feature on the Greek band Verbal Delirium. And I'm also looking to do a John Wetton special. You guys know me. I have to let something like the loss of John Wetton sink in a little. But like Greg Lake, he was a hero of mine, and I can't let his passing go without sending up some kind of tribute. So watch for that. I've also got a few other ideas in mind, some more family tree kind of programs. And of course, we'll always throw in a variety show every once in a while just to keep you up to date on what's new and good out there. So until next time, thank you once again for coming along for the ride. Please remember to be good to each other and prog on, brothers and sisters.
Thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy king. How'd you get so funky? Did you do the monkey? Crocodile. He gave his life for tourism. Golden idols. He's an Egyptian. They're selling you.
Made a stoner.